Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Congressman Himes, thank you so much for being here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
How are you?
Good. Got some good news for the county on Storm Ida.
Tell me.
Well, so after many weeks of pushing for it, we cleared the dollar threshold of damages to qualify for a presidential disaster declaration for both public assistance and Melissa. What we'll do once this is a done deal, we'll get into the nitty gritty details. But we passed the dollar threshold to qualify for a presidential disaster declaration in Fairfield County. It turns out it's a little bit more important in some of the communities to our to Bridgeport's west, town of Darien, town of Stanford, the Pemberwick section got badly hurt. But anyway, we passed the threshold for a disaster declaration, which means that I hope today Governor Lamont will be requesting that the president make a state disaster declaration, which will open people who sustained uninsured losses to their house or to their stuff eligible for some aid from FEMA. It will also make our towns in Fairfield County eligible for public aid, which means that, you know, expenses that they had, police officers, first responders, that sort of thing, could be reimbursable, which is good for the towns and good for those of us who are property taxpayers. So I do want to stress that there's probably a day's worth of gubernatorial and presidential action to happen. But if somebody did suffer uninsured damage from Storm Ida, and a lot of people did, they should just bear that in mind and pay close attention, because there may be some resources that could be made available to them to help them with their recovery.
Yeah, this is a huge story, because Congressman Himes, you and I talked about this just weeks after Ida hit, and a lot of the area that you serve, you know, was horribly hit by Ida, and we had, you know, made a call to action, look, let your local leaders know about it so we can collect as much, you know, we have as much data as we can showing, hey, we need the money. And I think we had to reach, like, not a very high threshold. It was like $2 million or something very low, my understanding was. So this is huge news this morning, and I don't know when the funds will become available to people, but it's something to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I'm hopeful that next week maybe we can have a couple minutes of conversation about how exactly people can apply for what relief, because there is, again, if we do get the declaration and the president does need to do that, I'm hoping that happens very soon. Uninsured damages may qualify for reimbursement, and people will need to know how to apply for that. And there's, by the way, a wide array of other stuff. You know, the SBA, the Small Business Administration, can make loans to businesses that suffered losses, that kind of thing. But yeah, maybe this time next week we can actually tell people exactly how, if they did suffer damages, they can apply for some aid.
That would be great. Yeah, we could dive definitely into that for sure next week when this becomes a little more clearer. But definitely some huge news, and I appreciate you sharing it and breaking it on the show this morning. Thank you so much. I wanted to also talk to you about a comment that was made earlier this week. I imagine you have read it. I'm sure you have heard from some of your constituents about it. I know I have gotten calls about this. Senator Ted Cruz wanting to create immigration ports of entry across New England, and one of them he would like in Greenwich, Connecticut. Your thoughts on that?
Well, as usual, Ted Cruz is not being serious. He's trying to make a point. He's a senator from Texas, and Texas has a long stretch of southern border, and so it is his state that sees people coming across the border. So, again, it's not a serious proposal. People don't need to worry that all of a sudden, there are going to be ports of entry in Greenwich or Danbury or Martha's Vineyard or whatever Ted Cruz was thinking. He's trying to make a point. And I don't know about you, but, you know, immigration and security at the border, these are very serious issues, but Senator Ted Cruz is not a serious person on this issue, which is sort of odd considering, you know, people from Texas, including George W. Bush, usually were pretty reasonable on immigration. And by that, I mean they recognize that we need good border security, right? That we're a country, we need good border security. But they also recognized both the importance of legal immigration and having substantial legal immigration to do things like, you know, work in our economy. And also the need to be, you know, decent and humanitarian about how we deal with people who are fleeing places like El Salvador and Guatemala. So anyway, I'm not sure if that was the nature of your question, but I can promise you with 100% certainty that the state of Connecticut is not all of a sudden going to get six or seven ports of entry.
I think his big thing, though, was he kept really targeting rich Democrats. That seemed to be his big thing, is when he kept saying that, I'm going to put it here, I'm going to put it there, I'm going to put it in Greenwich, Connecticut. It felt like he was making a point more towards actual lawmakers versus places where entries would jokingly go, if that makes sense, what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, of course he was. That's what Ted Cruz does, right? Now, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're trying to get a bipartisan, a word that is foreign to Ted Cruz, a bipartisan infrastructure deal done that'll deliver $6 billion to the state of Connecticut. And Ted Cruz is targeting Martha's Vineyard and Greenwich Democrats. That's fine, Ted. You go do it. I'm going to focus on the stuff that I think is actually going to make a difference for my constituents. You know, I don't like spending a lot of time. You know, Ted Cruz shut down the government single-handedly many years ago to make a point. We don't have ambassadors in something like 60 countries because Ted Cruz is angry about something. Now, you know, if you don't like the Biden administration, maybe you think that that's okay. But you know what? It's an insult to other countries when we don't have an ambassador in their place. You know, it's a fairly complicated world out there in a global pandemic. Anyway, so when you ask me about Ted Cruz, I'm probably not going to have a ton good to say because, like I said, when the rest of the world is focused on the pandemic and trying to get the economy back, Ted Cruz is cooking up ideas to put ports of entry in Martha's Vineyard. Fine, Ted, you do that, but don't get in the way of those of us who actually want to get something done for people.
Well, Congressman Himes, I appreciate, as I mentioned at the top of this, that you gave an incredible update for Connecticut. I'm hoping to get more details on that in the next week. And I do appreciate you addressing the comments that were made earlier this week. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. Hopefully we'll talk some more about this next week.
All right. Sounds good, Congressman Himes. Thank you so much for your time this morning. You all know how much I love autumn, but it's inevitable. It's going to start getting colder and colder, and you're going to want to start cranking the heat, which is understandable. But how do we start to save on our energy bills? For that, we turn to Mitch Gross, who's here with Eversource this morning. Good morning, Mitch. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, and ironically enough, Mitch, this is perfect timing to talk about this, not just because of the seasons, but October is Energy Efficiency Month. So what do you have for us this morning?
Well, it's also it's the time to really start thinking about insulation, weatherization, caulking, weather stripping, all of those things to help save you some energy and hopefully save you some money. You know, the U.S. Energy Information Administration recently came out with a report that said basically all of us should expect to pay more this winter to heat our homes. We're talking upwards of 54% more for propane. If you use heating oil, it's up around 40%, 30% for natural gas, even 6% for electricity. So we are all affected, and I'm talking homeowners and home renters, but there are things you can do to save a little energy and hopefully save a little money.
Now, I know, Mitch, that Eversource has certain programs that people can invest in. But before we dive into this, because obviously we will talk about that, but if you're a UI customer or you're not even with two of the major companies, let's say you use either a private utility or whatever it is, are these still tips that they can use as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, there are all kinds of things you can do. And, of course, as you noted, if you're an Eversource or a United Illuminating customer, Home Energy Solutions, the home energy audit, that's the way to go.
Okay, so what is that, first and foremost?
Okay, Home Energy Solutions, it's for Eversource customers. It is our most popular program. It's a home energy audit. You'll receive technicians come into your house. They do an attic to basement assessment. They air seal, they duct seal, they install LED lights, they go top to bottom, they give you a report with the recommendations for upgrades for things like insulation, heating. It's only $50. It's the best deal going. The work they do is valued at about $1,000, and on average, our customers save somewhere around $200 to $250 a year on their energy bills after having this work done. Again, it's $50, and for some customers, the work may be for free if they meet certain income eligibility guidelines. So your listeners need to go to Eversource.com, look at the information. When you go to Eversource.com, you'll see a blue bar that says Save Money and Energy. Click on that. There's a drop-down menu, and then you can dive into the information.
And I want to make something really clear here, Mitch. That's $50 once, and that's it, right? Are you paying $50 a month?
That's it.
That's a one-time deal.
And, mm-hmm. That's a one-time deal, and for some customers, the work may be for free. And, of course, if you elect to move forward with some of the recommendations the technicians will give you, of course, that's your choice. But, yes, that's a one-time-only charge of $50.
Wow, that's amazing. We're talking to Mitch Gross this morning of Eversource, trying to help you save on some of your energy costs. I mean, inflation is happening. We're all seeing it. We're talking about it constantly. But also in the winter months, you just typically do start to pay more money to heat your home, obviously. So what are some other tips, Mitch, that you have for people this morning?
Okay, if you're curious about how much all of those devices in your house, how much power they're using, nearly 200 libraries around the state have available for borrowing kilowatt kits. That's an electricity usage meter. You can borrow it from the library, take it home, you plug it into each one of your devices, and it shows how much power is being consumed. And from there, you can make the adjustments you choose to make to hopefully save a little energy and save a little money. Now, of course, there are lots of other things people can do. I talked about weatherizing with the caulking and the weather stripping if you're a do-it-yourselfer. You know, take a look around your house. And again, if you're a owner or a renter, and everything I'm talking about, renters in particular, if you're interested in the Home Energy Solutions Program or whatever, talk to your landlord and encourage them to take advantage of these programs. But take a look around your house. If you have peeling paint around your window or door trims, if in your attic you have noticeable discoloration of your insulation, unfortunately, you probably have air leaks. That's where all of that energy is just drifting away. And the idea is here to keep the warm air in during the winter, keep the cooler air in during the summer. So take the steps you need to make your house tighter, more draft resistant. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And they really are. These are tips that honestly, do you guys have these listed on Eversource's website?
Absolutely. We have these tips. We have information on the energy efficiency programs. There's a lot of information about payment assistance plans. I know we've spoken in the past about this, but again, if customers are having problems paying their utility bills, there are payment assistance plans as well. It's all there on Eversource.com. But in the meantime, again, things they can do: insulate, caulk, weather strip, have your heating system serviced. When's the last time you had a tune-up done to your furnace? I was watching TV last night, and I just happened to see a local company is advertising right now a special on furnace tune-ups. This is the time to take advantage of it. And during the heating season, you should be changing or cleaning your furnace filters. We recommend at least once a month to keep the system running at peak efficiency.
Mm-hmm. So, Mitch, I got a quick question from a listener asking if you could talk about the Flash Electrical Heating. Is that a program that you guys have, or I guess pertaining to hot water heaters?
Well, there are incentives and rebates out there for items ranging from hot water heaters to air conditioning to insulation. My recommendation to your listener is go to Eversource.com. You can check in the information on there. You can also go to EnergizeCT.com. And EnergizeCT.com is the state website, and it typically lists all the incentives that are currently available.
Okay, so the two websites, again, if you go to Eversource, and then it's energizect.com?
All one word, energizect.com, yes. Okay. I would go there. They typically list the current rebates and incentives that are available for everything.
Okay. All right, that's good to know. Thank you so much. And then I had one other call actually come in during the commercial break. She said her mom is a renter, and she would like to do this program. So if you're a renter, you obviously would have to reach out to your landlord. They own the property. Now, is there any kind of requirement that the landlord does this? Like, if you're a renter and you're like, hey, I would love to do this. I heard Mitch Gross talking about it, but the landlord's like, nah, I'm not spending the $50. Can you as a renter override that? Or like, how does that work if you've got a landlord who doesn't want to invest in the $50?
Well,
does that make sense?
Hopefully it doesn't come to that point with the landlords, but technically we should go through the landlord. The landlord is the property owner, so it should go through them. But seriously, for a $50 investment, you're going to save hundreds and hundreds of dollars on your utility bills annually, so why not make the investment? And again, some of your listeners may qualify for the work for free if they meet certain income eligibility guidelines. So I encourage that listener who is renting to reach out to their landlord and let them know that it could be $50, it could be for free, but it would benefit the landlord and everybody in that building to take advantage of the program.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and in a building like that, say you are a landlord, though, and you have, I don't know, an apartment complex or something, you own an apartment complex, and there's multiple units. Is it $50 per unit, or is it for the whole building?
Yes.
How does that work?
No, it would be $50 per unit.
Okay.
So the same as $50 per home.
Okay.
But that's a good question. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And then the other thing I had, Mitch, was offhand, I know I'm kind of throwing this at you, but offhand, you know, you were saying that some people may actually qualify to have this service done for free. Do you have some of those qualifications off the top of your head? You don't have to have all of them, but just a couple to give us an idea.
I'll be perfectly frank with you, not off the top of my head, but
there
are certain, if they meet certain state income eligibility guidelines, and when you contact the representatives, they will go over those the requirements over the phone, you know, how annual income, things like that.
Okay. All right. We're talking to Mitch Gross this morning with Eversource, getting some really great tips to help cut down on some of your bills before we go into the winter months. And look, Mitch, you and I, we've been in Connecticut for longer than we could probably imagine, and we know how winter works. I mean, we may start getting the really cold weather as early as Thanksgiving. Heck, we've had it come on Halloween. So, I mean, is it worth doing the $50 now in October, even November? You think it'll make that much of a difference going into the colder months of the year?
Yes, because the goal here, Melissa, is year-round energy efficiency. So do the work now, get the appointment, have it taken care of. You know, you're helping keep that warm air in during the colder months. And let's think ahead, too. The goal is to also keep the cooler air in during the summer months. So it's an effort to become more energy efficient, save a little money on your utility bill year-round.
How often would you recommend, Mitch, we do this? Like, should we do once a year? Like, if people love the program this year, they try it, they're like, wow, this was way too easy, I feel really good about this. Is this something that Eversource recommends you do once a year to have a consultant come in and check your house?
The Home Energy Solutions Program, you qualify every 3 years, every 36 months.
Okay. All right. So there you go, right there. $50 for 3 years to be. I mean, that's amazing. That too just is
right.
More incentive to keep your house in good shape.
And if you know, continue to take a look around your house and things you can do right now before you get the appointment done. You know, take a look at your thermostat. Where's it comfortable for you to be set at when you're home and awake, when you're sleeping or away from home? For every degree you lower your thermostat, keep this in mind, you can save about 2% off your heating bill. So take a look at that thermostat and let's see, where will I actually be comfortable in saving some money? Take a look at your house. If you have south side facing windows, when the cooler air, when it starts getting cold, open up the curtains and the blinds on the south side. Let that solar heating stream in during the cold weather and then close things up at night to retain the heat. And of course, take a look around your house, make sure your baseboard heaters, your radiators are clean. There's no blockage. They aren't blocked by furniture, carpets, drapes, things like that. And something very simple, and this is what I do around my house. You know, we plug in our home electronics, everything, TV, DVD, laptops, et cetera, into power strips.
Mm.
And when I'm done, I flip the power strip off at night when the so to make sure that you're absolutely saving energy and hopefully saving some money. The power is off when you flip off the power strip.
It's so true. And that's such a simple thing that a lot of us forget. Even just leaving our phones plugged in, leaving the plugs, I should say, in, you know, it's still working. Even though you took your phone out of the plug, like years, as long as it's still in that outlet, it's working. It just isn't powering
that's
anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
They call it things like phantom energy, but as long as that little light is glowing, you're still consuming some power. So there are some small things and some big things,
mm-hmm.
and some, you know, upgrades you can do around your house. But we all have the ability to take advantage of these energy efficiency programs, these energy tips, the payment assistance plans. There's all kinds of programs and services and help out there to help you better control your energy consumption and hopefully save some money.
Mitch Gross, and again, really quick, this isn't just a program that Eversource would offer. If you are of a utility company, there's a good chance they offer something similar.
United Illuminating offers it as well. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. UI and Eversource offer the Home Energy Solutions Program. And again, all of these do-it-yourself tips, anybody with a caulking gun or you know, can install insulation, you know, you can do it as well.
Mitch Gross of Eversource, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this information. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk again soon. We are literally a little less than a week and a half away from the general election. It's crazy. November 2nd, it's a big day for local elections across our listening area, including in Milford, the mayor of Milford. That's a big race that we're keeping an eye on. And this morning, we're welcoming to the show Peter Berube, who's a Republican mayoral candidate. Peter, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So first of all, Peter, why run for mayor? What sort of drew you to wanting to enter the race this time?
Well, I wanted to try to create a balance and a better future for Milford. And what I'm looking for is, you know, a 10 to 15, 20-year plan, where I don't see plans for the long-term future of Milford.
So, like, why do you say that? What do you think is sort of missing right now in the current administration?
I believe what I'm looking at for is the overdevelopment I see right now. I think, you know, the overdevelopment is too much. I think we need to have smart development and, you know, create a long-term public safety plan as well.
So, like, what do you mean by that? Could you explain that? What's smart development versus overdevelopment?
Well, right now, currently in Milford, we have a lot of overdevelopment of the apartment buildings around town. They're taking small houses, knocking them down, and building these large you know, small communities and stuff like that. Smith Funeral Home is a perfect example on the green. You know, they're going to have a restaurant and then a bunch of apartment buildings. So when I look into that, and then you look at empty buildings we have around town, the old Kmart buildings and, you know, M&M Farms and on and on and on, I just think we could utilize our areas of empty space or non-empty space a little bit better.
Hmm. Okay. Now, what about like the mall, for example? I know I've talked a lot about that on our show. I know that there are plans in the works or at least being proposed plans for the mall. But that, you know, is a very popular spot in Milford. It has, you know, like every other mall across the country, unfortunately, though, retailers are struggling. What would you ideally love to see with that property?
Well, the mall being one of the largest tax base in Milford's, what I'd like to see is some type of a mixed use facility. You know, some apartment buildings would be okay there, office buildings, you know, doctors, lawyers type areas. But I still think you need to have some kind of a small retail value in there. We got to do something to increase our tax base, but make it, you know, appealing to the residents.
We're talking to Peter Berube this morning. He's the mayoral candidate, the Republican mayoral candidate, running for mayor in Milford, going up against Mayor Ben Blake. Does it make you nervous? You know, Mayor Blake has obviously held this office for quite some time, and coming into the race, obviously bringing new perspective, I think is very exciting in these kinds of races. How are you feeling going up against Mayor Blake?
Right now I'm feeling pretty good. You know, Blake has been in office for a number of years. He's coming up on, almost 10 years now. I just think that my ideas and my vision for the city of Milford will be a better guiding light for the future. You know, we talk about 6 tax cuts in a row, but do the voters and residents really know how the tax cuts happen?
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at it, you know, 6 tax cuts in a row for the mill rate, dropping the mill rate. If you kind of go back to the, you know, pension trust fund. You know, we have one of the better funded pension trust funds in Connecticut, but it's gone from 100% in 2015 or 2011 to 2015 was at 100%. From 2015 to current year, it's dropped from 96% to 82%. So when you're looking at funds like that, people understand that I'm dropping my mill rate, I'm saving taxes. In reality, he's really saved you a cup of coffee and a half a donut each year.
Interesting. Okay. Peter Berube is here this morning. So what are some things, Peter, that you feel the current administration does well, maybe that you'd want to continue on in Milford, and maybe just some big changes you would want to take on if you became the next mayor?
I mean, overall, I think they do, you know, they do well as far as city services. They do okay. I'm not going to say everything is well, but, you know, Public Works, is, from my understanding, is for last 4 to 5 years has been down like 32 positions. All right. They haven't had a contract, union contract, for almost 3.5 years. With residents moving in and we're doing the development, we need to provide the public safety, public works, and more services for the residents. So that's where I would look into. As it increases, we got to look at public safety, police, fire, and public works. Are we staffed enough, and can we utilize any other resources to continue that?
So, Peter, I think the bigger question for, I'd say one of the biggest questions for voters this, you know, this morning and heading into next week and even on November 2nd, why should they vote for you?
Well, I'm going to be a voice for the residents of Milford. You know, currently we look at the Board of Aldermen, which is a balanced, you know, semi-balanced board, whatever, but they have representation for that. I'm looking for planning and zoning and the education boards to try to create a balanced board there. Currently it's 9-1 in favor of the Democrats for the education. Planning and zoning is a 10-0 in favor of the Democrats. So I'm looking to create balance so all voices can be heard and represented.
And are you a Milford resident?
Currently, I'm a Milford resident. I've been Milford resident for over 10 years right now.
So you love Milford.
That's why I chose to be my home. It's a small, charm community, and I like to keep it that way.
Peter Berube, who is the Republican mayoral candidate in Milford, we so appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you so much, and we'll see what happens on November 2nd. Thank you.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely.